In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
You forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you.
I will pray.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed,
a stronghold in times of trouble.
And those who know your name put their trust in you.
For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have commanded us to love you above all things and our neighbors as ourselves. Grant us the spirit to think and do what is pleasing in your sight, that our faith in you may never waver and our love for one another may not falter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is found in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. I'm sorry, these are different readings from what's in the bulletin, but I'll do the reading for Reformation. Let me continue. I'm sorry. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Okay, and the epistle for this Reformation Day is found in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What then becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Holy Gospel is found in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. John.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Salvation has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works can avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Christ alone, who did our one Redeemer. Since Christ has full tone salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Alone, dear Lord, life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone, and rests in him unceasing, and by his serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. To Father, Son, and Spirit, to God who saved us by his grace, all glory to his merit. Triune God in heaven above, you have revealed your saving love, your blessing love. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today is from Psalm 46. Let us pray. O Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. Amen. Be seated. Again, as I said, our text for this morning is Psalm 46. Let me read that briefly. If you want to grab a Bible. There you go. And I want to follow along. I'll make reference to Psalm 46 several times. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the Kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So far that text. Indeed, those words that it begins with, God is our refuge, our fortress and strength, a very present help. In other words, a very well-proved help in trouble. And then finally, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Another word for the word is fortress. That's what the psalmist was saying, along with ancient Israel, with bedrock confidence. Now this morning I want to explore a little bit as we look at what some of the scholars believe is the original context from even prior to this, where Psalm 46 was born. And then we're going to fast forward a few centuries and see how this psalm inspired Martin Luther, appropriate for this day. And from there, we'll fast forward to today, our present day, as the inspired Word of God speaks to us today. So, first then, we go back to ancient Israel, or more properly, ancient Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah. There are some scholars that think the historical background of out of which Psalm 46 arose is really found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, during the days of King Jehoshaphat. Love that name. King Jehoshaphat was afraid that he and his kingdom were going to fall to the surrounding peoples of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And so in fear and panic, he calls together the inhabitants of Judah at an assembly in Jerusalem. And then the Lord speaks to him through Jehaziel. He was a descendant of Zechariah and finally a descendant of the Levites. He reassured this assembly and Jehoshaphat that even though Judah was outnumbered, even though they had a far inferior military power, nevertheless, they would win the battle. As the psalmist says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And so the next day, the choir of Judah, people selected to sing, and Judah and Jerusalem took up their position. And this choir began singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Probably heard those words somewhere along your life. Well, as they sang this, for some reason, whatever it was, the armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, Mount Seir, they became confused. They were in disarray. They were setting traps for the others, and they ended up turning against one another, and they killed one another until there were no survivors. And so the Lord gave Jehoshaphat and Judah the victory. I think it's most instructive to note first how this power of the words spoken to Jehoshaphat and that assembly, how that oracle from the Lord gave them courage and confidence in a time of fear and threatening destruction. They were vastly outnumbered. They had no hope. Second, I think it was the power of that sung word of God by the choir in the battlefront, in front of the soldiers, that caused their enemy to turn against themselves, and so bringing on defeat and self-destruction. In Psalm 46, he kind of underscores the power of God's word, especially in verse 6, where amidst all the catastrophic events, it says, "The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter." And then it follows, the Lord utters his voice and the earth melts. The power of God's word working in many and varied ways is what saved those ancient Israelites. And as we'll see, it saved Martin Luther in the 16th century. It continues to save us today. Today, that opening hymn we sang, which we Lutherans like to sing with vigor and enthusiasm. It's a battle cry, isn't it? It was among Martin Luther's 37 hymns that he wrote. Did you know he wrote that many? This was one of his favorites. A mighty fortress is our God. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're going to learn now. This hymn is based on and inspired by that first verse of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, little did Luther know that as time moved on from century to century until today, that this hymn would be translated into more than 200 languages. It was sung by virtually every mainline Christian denomination. It's said that even some good Roman Catholics sing this song. So, the hymn, of course, spread like wildfire through in Germany and other lands. Luther himself, along with his other reformer friends and colleagues, were told that they liked to sing it daily, but especially in times of trouble, temptation, depression, to be lifted in spirit, to be restored with a new courage, a new faith, a new strength. That tune, the melody, Ein fester Berg, was composed by Luther also. And it has inspired J.S. Bach's famous tune of Cantata 80, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, Felix Mendelssohn's Fifth Symphony. If you really want to dig into the weeds and a little trivia, I found out, and I was not aware of this, never heard of it, Giacomo Meyerbeer's opera, Le Huguenot, and Alexander Glazunov's Finnish Fantasy. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, those two. I had never heard of it, but quite an inspiration. For Luther himself, likely one of, if not the most important message of this hymn, is that for him, on numerous occasions, God was like a mighty fortress. And if you know anything about the life of Luther and the history of the Reformation, maybe it was during the 1 year that he spent in hiding in that Wartburg castle when he translated the New Testament into German that he found God on a much larger scale to be like that mighty fortress at Wartburg, those thick protective walls of Wartburg Castle. May have helped him to feel secure and safe away from his military, political, the ecclesiastical adversaries. Oftentimes, Luther felt like everyone was against him. And so it was solely by that protective and gracious God that he remained unharmed and safe, was able to continue his reforming work. Now, a second important theme in Luther's hymn, as well as in his life, was the power of Satan at work in all of creation, in the world, in the church, in personal lives. For Luther, that meant that life was defined in terms of military language, more or less. Luther felt like he was forever at battle against the devil. He saw him at work everywhere. On one occasion, he supposedly even grabbed an ink blotter and threw it against the wall, trying to destroy Satan. But as Luther firmly believed and confidently states in his hymn, as we sang in that third verse, one little word can fell him. The word, of course, is Jesus. For Luther, for all Christians. He holds the field victorious, he writes, and the kingdom ours forever. That phrase, one little word can fail him, once again picks up the theme of the power of God's word to accomplish whatever God wants in our lives and in the world and especially in the church. For Luther, Jesus Christ himself, being that word incarnate, could accomplish all things. Luther took great comfort in that. That was the source of his strength and his inspiration throughout his life. So let's fast forward now to today. We too are able to be inspired and strengthened and encouraged by God, our almighty fortress. I'm certain if we stop to think about it, every one of us could think of at least one time, if not numerous occasions, when God has protected us from trouble, from danger, from harm. God has been a strong fortress for us as well, whether it is physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, any danger whatsoever. Maybe like ancient Judah, maybe like Martin Luther, we've had to face some quite overwhelming obstacles and opponents. We, like they, might feel we have little chance of overcoming them or winning against such obstacles. Our own strength, our own skill, our gifts, our resources may seem next to nothing compared to those of others. And yet, we are still here. God is so good, and God has given us exactly what we need at the right time. He has proven to be our mighty fortress. We've been protected, strengthened, encouraged, inspired. We've overcome and we have prevailed because of that mighty fortress, which is our God. The power of God's word has worked in us. It's worked in our lives as well. Excuse me. And that's why we are here today, to worship, to celebrate the triumph of our Lord. Today, we, like ancient Judah, like Luther, also have our battles to fight. As people of faith, we're constantly fighting that cosmic battle between good and evil, God and the devil. It's so sad to say, but the powers of evil still exert their influence upon us personally, as well as in our world and in the church. The following story kind of illustrates that. Years ago, a man bought a church property. He allowed the congregation to stay there for a while and until he was ready to use it, whenever the time came. They said they didn't want to leave. Well, he didn't want to take them to court, so he gave them another 30 days and then another 30 days until finally his patience was exhausted and he kind of came up with a plan to get them out. And while their evening service was in progress, he had a friend pull the main light switch through the church into total darkness. And then he pulled his car up right in front of the church so the headlights would shine through the windows. And then he dressed up in a red devil suit and came jumping through the window in front of the congregation. Well, the people started to jam the exits trying to get out and flee. But there was one woman couldn't get out because she was sitting in a wheelchair. But she kept kind of pushing backwards, and the devil kept gaining on her. And when he got close to her, she finally said, "Now listen. I want you to know, Satan, I've been a member of this church all my life. I've been a teacher of Bible class for 25 years, president of the women's group for the last 10 years. And I want you to know I was on your side all the time." Well, that's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sobering and instructive in that it points to how the powers of evil can still be at work even in the church and certainly in the world. All we have to do is turn on the news and we watch and listen to how the devil continues to work in this world. And so we always need to be on our guard to resist those powers of evil. And so we, in the footsteps of ancient Judah in the footsteps of people like Luther and other reformers, we can continue to live confidently and secure, trusting and knowing one little word can fell him, all the evil powers. The power is God's word. And that word is very much alive and active. It brings healing to the sick. It brings hope to the hopeless. And it brings faith to those who are doubting. And love to all of us. Jesus Christ is that ultimate victor. Praise God, our mighty fortress, for that. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we remember Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Robert, Mary and Alfred, Jerry, Cynthia, Cassidy and twins Rhea and Emerson, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, JD, and Briella. We remember also the people of Israel and even the people of Gaza. For all those also in Ukraine, for those throughout the world who are suffering, let us now pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, that we may love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who hear, who bear the gospel, that they would be preserved holy and righteous, blameless and free from all error or deceit, and for all who hear, that they may receive it as your word, working life and salvation in them. Let us pray to the Lord. For parents, that God would strengthen them to recount his wondrous deeds to their children, to the thanks and praise of his goodness. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who suffer for the sake of Jesus, that their stronghold would comfort and preserve them in the joy of his salvation until his deliverance comes. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who seek the Lord for help, especially those whom we have named, that God would not forsake their cries, but restore them to soundness and strength. Let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for all the saints whom our Lord has delivered into his kingdom, that we may be encouraged to walk in a manner worthy of our calling until we stand with them forever. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.